I appreciate your interest and your attention this evening. I ask that you would pray that I'd be able to adequately express our thoughts and our burden this evening. I wrote a quote on the board here from a man that I don't know much about. I can give you his name. I found that sometimes things that we have heard a lot get credited to multiple people. So that might be the case. If I tell you a name, you might say, well, I think that somebody else ought to have credit for that. So be that what it may be, I'm sure all of us here have heard the little phrase, you are a product of your environment. I wasn't real familiar with the rest of the part that I put up here. The rest of it says, so choose the environment that will best develop you toward your objective. When I was in school, there was always a groan in the class when we were assigned word problems. And after I graduated, I came to the realization that we ought to have more, because word problems in your math class is where life really is. Very seldom do we get handed numbers and told exactly what to do with them. Life doesn't present us 2 plus 2 and then ask us, well, what's the answer? We are presented with something, maybe verbal, it may be written down, and we have to pull out the numbers and do the math to be able to get the answer that we need in life. And many of us dreaded algebra and graphing equations and all of those kind of things. And I just wrote one up here that it's an equation for a circle. And if you're familiar with algebra, you knew exactly what kind of shape it would be just by looking at it. If you're not familiar with algebra, then you didn't know that. But you can tell just by looking at the way where the variables are as to what shape that would be when you would graph that. You can tell if it's going to be a straight line or an ellipse. And you can tell how far it is off of the x-axis and the y-axis and all of those things. The reason I put that up there is because, here again, life presents us a lot of variables. And you don't like, or maybe you didn't like, algebra, and you knew that numbers went together and letters went together, but when you put those all in the same thing and you start putting mathematical symbols with them, you said, that just doesn't make any sense. Well, I have found that the more we pay attention to those kind of things, the better equipped we are to handle the variables that life gives us. We have to many times solve our life's problems down to something that's a constant or something that we can start working from. So when I see this quote or this little thing that I've wrote on the board, when I see this, you may read it and think that it's poetic. And you might read it and think, well, I know the famous person that penned that, that authored that. And when I read it, I'm looking for an equation. All right? So we know that when we are doing a word problem, the word product always means what? Somebody tell me. It means multiply. If we see the word is in an equation, it means what?
Equal.
It means equal. So we have here RA. Would you accept that that's equivalent with equal? So I wrote in a little equation here that U is equal to the product of your environment, but we had to read the rest of it. The environment that you choose and your objective. So I wrote, this is what this means to me, all right? When I look at this, this is what it means. You are equal to the environment and your objective, the product of that, the multiplication of that. And if we use a little algebra, and I skip some steps, we can isolate this and say that our objective is equal to you divided by your environment. Okay? So I'm interested in us thinking about what can we make in that equation that's a constant. In this equation over here, we have some constant factors. We know that all of this stuff here that might be gibberish to some, it's set equal to 9. This is a constant in that equation. And we can solve that equation for those variables by referencing this constant. And I'm not going to do that. I might make a mistake. So what is it that we can take out of this right here and say, I know that I can make that a constant? I'm thinking about these factors of you, the environment, and your objective. I don't have much choice about my physical being. I do have some. I could be thinner if I chose to be that way. It's like I heard recently, someone said they'd really like to play the guitar, but they knew that it was going to take more effort than they was willing to do. But I can't change how tall I am. I can't change the color of my eyes. I can't change the color of my hair by doing something less than artificial. And there's a lot of factors that is out of my control, except objective. That's why I solved it for that. I don't have a lot of control about my environment. And I just want you to know that in my lifetime, I've seen the climate and the environment change a lot. We talk about it, my wife and I and my family and maybe others, from time to time, about the things that have changed in my short lifetime, things that you and I might value, and the world in general used to value some of those. So, in that extent, I believe that we have experienced quite dramatic climate change in my lifetime. The climate for us to be godly and spiritual in this day is different than it was in my parents' age.
Yes, it is.
When my parents were young people, they thought that the climate was bad, I'm sure. They had their share of temptations, but if my parents were alive today, they would say it's worse now than it was when I was a child. And I can tell you, I can tell my children that the climate right now is more hazardous and more difficult to find reinforcement in our everyday culture than it was when I was an adolescent. So I want you young people to know, when you get up and sing like you did tonight, means something.
Yes.
I want to encourage you to be true.
Amen.
And to be faithful.
Yes.
I want to challenge you to make your objective a constant.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
If it's not been a constant before, I want you to make it something that you can anchor yourself on, because you can rest assured some of you will look kind of like me someday. Some of you, your hair will either fall out or turn gray. And some of you will be heavier than you thought you ever thought possible. And some of you will have aches in places that you don't even know how to relate to right now. Okay? So it's coming. The environment is not going to get better, most likely. I would love to see revival break out. In my community, in this community, I would love us to have a real problem, like we can't fit everybody in here. I would like for there to be a chapel on every intersection. I would like for our whole society to change about. But I'm going to tell you, it's not so. If it did, that'd still be an environmental change, wouldn't it? So I can't count on the environment, and I can't count on being 19, but just 12 months. But I can, with the help of the Lord, have a clear objective from the time that I'm young until the time that I'm old. And when I use that in my equation and realize that I am a product of the environment and my objective, then I believe that we'll be able to see the and be able to have a projection of who we'll be when you're in your 50s.
Yes.
We'll have a clear path and a direction for our lives. I would like to look tonight at an example, I believe, of a man that had a clear objective in his life. Been impressed and been meditating on this man for some time now, and I wish we knew more about him. I'd like to turn to the 24th chapter of Joshua and read some of my favorite verses. And I read this because I believe this is a man that had a very clear objective. And when he started out with that objective, I doubt very seriously that he fully grasped where it would take him in life. I can tell you that the objectives that I have had in my personal life, I didn't know where it would take me. I'm thankful that we can have an unwavering objective tonight. It's going to be tested. It's going to be questioned. It's going to be at a point many times when you just wonder if it's worth it. But I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, you can keep that a constant in your life. No matter what the environment, and no matter what you appear or feel like. So the setting here in the 24th chapter of Joshua is toward the close of his life. He had divided the inheritance of the Canaan land He had called the people together, refreshed their memory on the law and what had been given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the people were wavering. And Joshua was a man that had kept things going in the direction of serving the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, this man had been tested over and over and over again. It wasn't an easy path for him to follow. And he was at a point that he realized, I can't keep it all together. And as we get older, we realize there comes a time that we can't keep it all together. All right? I don't want to get off track too much, but I just want to tell you that when we have little children, there's a place that we coerce them to do the right thing. They don't have a choice. You're my son. You're my daughter. This is how it's going to be. And then there comes a time that we are a coach. And then there comes a time when the best that we can be is an advisory council. If they'll come and ask for it. And if we wade in where they don't want us, many times it can be a painful experience. All right? And I believe Joshua had taken the leadership at a time when people felt obligated and more, they felt more maybe respectful of the leadership at the time when Joshua took over from Moses. But at this time, it seems like, from what we read here, that the people were wavering in their commitment and in their personal objectives. So we'll read here in beginning in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore," this is a challenge, "fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." I'm going to tell you, for a man not just to stand up in his own household, but to stand up in front of a multitude of people and be able to command that kind of authority and respect, this was a man that had an incredible level of anointing in his life, I believe. This man said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to safeguard my family, my household, from the idolatrous practices to the extent of my abilities. I am not going to tolerate anything that would cause my objective to be violated." And when he said that, the people rallied around that. And they said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Did you know, if you have a clear objective, men, in your homes, and you have a direction, you are intent. By the grace of God, we're not going to deviate from the standard of holiness. Did you know your families will respect that?
Yes.
You're going to be contested. There's going to be some reasoning that goes on, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have this level of commitment. You're going to have this kind of objective to be successful. You know, I can't control the environment around me. I think of the distractions that's offered to us today. And it is so intense. I remember those little electronic games. They weren't even video. They were just the little red dots that went bopping around on a screen. You young people don't even know what I'm talking about, probably. They'd probably be in a museum today. But you had these little buttons that you kind of made this little red dot move around and jump in something. It didn't even look like a basketball goal, but that's what you was playing on this little game. And today it looks, they've got stuff, it looks like real people. So, the ability to offer attraction to us just to get us away from, I'm not preaching against some little innocent activity, all right? But I brought that up to make an illustration here of how capable the enemy is of adjusting the environment. And if we don't have an objective that's rock solid, that we are, it's just clear. We're not going to change our objective. I don't want something that violates my integrity with the Lord. I'm going to scrutinize anything that comes across my door. I'm not talking about a literal door necessarily. I'm talking about things that would come across the threshold of our life and our minds and our hearts. I'm going to have my eyes open and my ears to the ground, and I'm going to be paying attention. There's no time to snooze on this kind of thing. My objective has to be a constant. We need Joshua's today. We need Joshua's today that will say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make this the top priority in my heart and in my life. I'm going to keep my slate clean. I'm going to keep my nose clean. I'm going to do the things that... How many of you answer all your phone calls today? On the way down here, we got two or three phone calls. Called my wife's phone. And it was somebody telling us our Apple... Well, I don't even remember. Our Apple Cloud account had been breached. We don't even have one. And then they'll call us and tell us they're going to help me with my credit card debt, and I don't have that either. It's like... We don't answer all the... If it's a number we don't recognize, don't answer it. You know, the enemy just looking for an opportunity. I got a text message here not so long ago, and it was awful. How'd they get my number? Well, it was sent to five others. I looked at that, and I just happened to be in the numeric sequence. There was, you know, three or four numbers above mine and two or three after that. They was just randomly sending a text message out, and I got it. You know, the enemy is trying to get something across the threshold. And we've got to say, it's for me and my house. My objective, I'm not looking to see if there's something out there that might be interesting. I'm on lookout for anything that would alter my objective. It's got to be a constant. I can't allow this. You know, if you put something over here, we end up, if we just put another variable over here like this, that really changes things, doesn't it? Well, just how big this circle do you want that to be? You know, well, today it's this big, and tomorrow we want it that big. You see, we can't allow ourselves to put a variable where it needs to be a constant. So I've been thinking about Joshua. What do we know about him? We know that his name wasn't always Joshua. We turn back to Exodus, the 17th chapter. We find the setting here where Joshua's name was first mentioned in the scripture, and some feel that this most likely had been updated towards the end of the account of Exodus, to where his name wasn't actually Joshua at this time, but be that for what it may be. We start here in the 8th verse, 17th chapter. I'd like to say before I read this, I'm real thankful for those that have gone before me that's helped me be able to establish a constant for my objective. All right? I'm thankful for those that have had a reputation of being clear in their minds and in their heart. And they've had an objective that wasn't a variable. It wasn't wavering. It was a constant. We find here in 17 of Exodus, beginning in the 8th verse, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, we understand that Joshua was approximately 45 years old at this time. He was considered Moses' servant. You can check my the validity of what I'm saying if you want to. I'm not trying to throw out bogus stuff here, but that's my understanding. And this is the first account we have in the scripture of him. And immediately we find him in a picture, in a place of having responsibility. So I believe that there's more to the story before this. I just don't know what it is. I believe that he was had proved himself to have integrity. I believe he'd proved himself to have courage and have all of the characteristics where Moses could say to him, "Joshua, I want you to go out and contest the enemy. I want to put you in charge of the forces. You're a much more capable military person than I am." And this is I don't know if this is the first exercise in actually putting it to practice or not, but I know the Lord's working with you. And I want to tell you, we're supporting you. I'm going to go up here on this mountain overlooking this, and we're going to be praying, is what we would say, probably. I'm going to be up there, and you go do the work. So, number one, you can't watch what Moses is doing when he's up above you in elevation and you're down here facing an enemy that's looking you in the eye, and it wasn't long-range weapons, it was hand-to-hand combat. And it was taking all of his concentration, and I believe that Joshua realized is there was a time when the enemy was falling before him, and then it seemed like something happened and they were overpowering them. And then there was this surge going the other direction. And I'm wondering if Joshua was thinking, "Lord, you know what our objective here is. Our objective is to defeat the enemy." That has not changed, but the environment's changing. One time we're winning, and then it seems like the tide turns against us. So the point I'm trying to bring out here is that in the face of the changing environment, and maybe he'd incurred some injury, I don't know all those details, at least he was getting tired, so that's a variable, most likely. But things were changing around him, except his objective. All right? That's my burden tonight here. So, but Moses' hands, it says, were heavy. You ever tried to hold your hands up a long time? Maybe you're hanging sheetrock, working underneath something. I do this a lot, have done it a lot in my life. Hands over your head, maybe for an hour at a time. Pretty soon you just kind of want to put your hands down. And so Moses, I mean, this battle's going on. And it's getting lengthy and he's tired. He can't hold his, maybe his fingers is getting numb and cold and all of that. And so they said, just keep reading here. His hands were heavy and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, I like to know that I've got reinforcements behind me. And Joshua wasn't sure. I don't think he ever turned around and wondered where Moses was. He was just staying focused. And his objective was constant. And he kept working at this. And it says here, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of who? Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You ever wondered why there's those that come along and try to help you and put their nose in your business? In your business? I've had those that come along and said, hey, I got something I'd like to share with you. We heard it here tonight. I don't know that the two brothers knew that that was fixing to happen or not, but they took it pretty good. And you know, there's going to be people come along that says, look, I got a little something I want to give you. I want to help you out. I want to kind of put you in the, I want to reinforce your objective. What are we in this thing for? Are we just going to try to make our circle big today and little tomorrow and just move this thing around? You know, we can change these numbers here and move that circle around on the graph. We can move it up above the x-axis or over to the left or over to the right just by changing those numbers. He said, write it down. And then when you get a chance, tell Joshua what was really going on. Help him. He needs to know that it was God that helped him. You know, I'm very thankful for the keen minds that the Lord has blessed each one of us here with. I'm real thankful for the young people that can grasp things that maybe I can't now. I'm real thankful for that, but I want you to remember something. The Lord's one to give you that mind. If you'll keep your objective clear and focus, I believe the Lord's got something for you. He'll be able to use you. He needs some Joshuas, folks. Sometimes I feel like the most desperate need we have in our world today is for there to be a whole generation of Joshuas come up. We need some in every home that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is too desperate. I don't want my objective, I don't want your objective to waver. Dear ones, this is so important for us to get a hold of. There's so many other variables in life. So many other pressures that's going to come against you. We got to have this clear. So he says, tell Joshua about it. Remind him what was going on. He didn't know. All he just knew is that we're gaining. Moses is up there. They're holding his hands up. I want people to hold, I want us to hold one another's hands up. And I want us to support those that's on the front lines. And I want all of our objective to be constant. So, I'd like to turn now to the 24th chapter of Exodus. And notice something else about Joshua. Exodus, the 24th chapter, 13th verse. 12th verse beginning, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I'll give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. I don't know how far Joshua went. I don't know how close he got to God and to Moses when the tables of stone were written on, but I know he went up the mountain with him. He was there. Moses took him along. Why did he take him along? Because his objective was constant. He wasn't wavering in that. He wasn't willing to, he wasn't like, yeah, I'm happy to be with you today, Moses, and tomorrow he wasn't so happy to be. It was a constant thing. There were things that changed. I don't know what public opinion was on Joshua at this point. I know that Moses didn't always have a very high rating. If they took a poll, he probably wouldn't have had a very high rating in a poll. But Joshua was there. He kept his objective clear and unwavering. And then I'd like to turn to us with us, or have you turn with me to Numbers, the 13th chapter. I want to notice this account where Joshua was sent over to the Canaan land as a spy. And here we have it written out what his name was originally. Beginning in the first verse, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribes of Reuben: Shammu, the son of Zachor, of the tribe of Simeon; Shaphat, the son of Horah, of the tribe of Judah; Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar; Egal, the son of Joseph, and of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun." So Oshea was the original name for Joshua. Some consider it Hoshea with an H. And we find, that's all I know of his background. Maybe some of y'all can enlighten me, but he was of a half tribe of Ephraim. And we know he was the son of Nun. He wasn't, I believe the way this is worded, I don't believe he was the ruler, but I believe he was accepted as the head of his family. Or anticipated to be the head of his family. Most likely he was in his 40s here or 50s. I don't know. Maybe he was old as I am today. I don't know. But he was selected to go as a spy, to spy out the land. And we know that when he came back, what would it be like to go in to a land that he didn't have a map for, no GPS, and go in and come around the corner of a rock or come upon a civilization, and the closer you got, the bigger the people got. And realize that, well, the other said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. These are some giants. I know what it's like to work with somebody that was, he was 6'9" or 6'10". And he, from a distance, he didn't look any different. He wasn't weird looking or anything like that. But when he'd walk in the door, his cap would just barely clear the door facing. He was a big man. And you know, I'm glad that we were friends. But this man, these people they seen weren't friendly. And they were coming there with the plan of taking their land away from them. I don't know how big a fella Joshua was, but I don't think he was 6 foot tall. I'd be surprised. He's probably less than that. And this fella is, he's big. Maybe as big as Goliath was. Maybe he was 3 foot taller than Joshua was. But when he come back, he came back with the same objective that he went over there with. It was a constant, you see. He came back and he said, the Lord said it for us to do this. And it's very clear that if he meant for us to do it, then he'll help us. And my objective is still the same. The environment's a little different than I expected. It's a variable, you see. And, you know, I don't feel quite as capable. I might be looked on as the head of my family, but I don't feel quite as capable as I did before I went over there in myself. And I wonder at this point if he remembered what Moses said. You write that down and tell Joshua. I wonder if he's thinking, you know, if Moses is holding up his hands, I think we can take them. I don't know what he went through his mind, but I know this. His objective didn't waver. It was a constant. You're going to face some stuff that looks like giants. And that may not be a literal giant. It may be something that has reared itself up on the horizon, and it looks like there's no way I can stand true in the face of that. What I'm going to tell you, if you keep your objective clear, I believe the Lord will hold your hands up and He'll help you. There may be another giant that comes along, and it may be something that changes your environment. Maybe a more, not colloquial, but more contemporary term would be something really rocks your world. Just turns it upside down. You know, some of you here today, maybe all of you in this home congregation, you've had some environmental upheaval. Where's your objective? Is it constant? Is my objective constant? I have not faced what maybe you have faced, but I've faced upheaval in my life. My horizon has had some giants. My horizon has had some things that looked intimidating to me. And I've looked at myself and I've felt like I'm not a match. I'm not as strong as I used to be. Either that or my boys are stronger than I ever was. I don't know. But there's some things that's different. But my objective can still be the same. And yours can too. We don't have to waver. You know, when the three Hebrew children were faced with a burning fiery furnace, their objective was a constant, wasn't it?
Yes.
We're not careful to answer you, O King. If you're going to throw us in there, then just go ahead. Because we're not going to make up our... You can sing and dance and plead all you want to, but we're not going to bow down. Have you ever given blood? They ask you, I don't know how many times, if you've done something inappropriate that would make your blood contaminated. Last time I was faced with that, I said, listen, that's my wife, and I've not done anything to violate that. Don't ask me that question but one time. You can go through there and check those, but I'm not going to sit here and say no, no, no. You know what the answer is. That's why we've got to be with the things that come against us. My objective is constant. You don't have to come around like some sneaky legal counsel and ask it from a different angle. The answer is, I'm not interested. My objective is clear. Don't try to pass that off on me. It looks like it's part of the devil's merchandise, and I don't want any of it. And yes, maybe you can team up on me, and maybe you can outmaneuver me intellectually and all of those kind of things. But I just want you to know, if you want to throw me in, go ahead. Because I intend to be true to the Lord. I intend to be true to my convictions. I just can't go there. Listen, folks. There's too many variables in life for me to think, well, I'll just figure it out when I get there. We're going to have some constants. And the only one that I know that I can anchor myself in is I have to have a constant objective. I'm not listening. I'm not bargaining. Just take it and move on. I'm not listening to what he's got to say. I'm not going to go there. It's for me and my house, by the grace of God, we're going to live for the Lord. And when somebody comes behind, I want them to be able to say that they were faithful. You pray for me.